In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we're celebrating Corpus Christi, the feast of the most precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The celebration of this feast originated in the Middle Ages as the result of increased theological interests and theological and liturgical devotion of the Eucharist. In 1215, the Fourth Lateran Council formally defined the doctrine of transubstantiation, that the Eucharistic elements, the bread and the wine, are truly transformed into the body and blood of Christ. Corpus Christi was first celebrated in parts of Belgium and Germany, but it is most closely associated with the city of Orvieto, an ancient city in the Umbrian hills, about 70 miles northeast of Rome. In the year 1263, Pope Urban IV was forced to flee Rome because of violence and civic unrest. He went to Orvieto, which is not only a beautiful place, but it is also very well fortified, being set on the top of a mountain and surrounded by high walls. It is also famous for its delicious wild boar and elegant white wines. So it is a very comfortable place to escape from Rome. And at the same time, according to tradition, a priest named Peter of Prague was making a pilgrimage to Rome. He was known as a very holy man, but he also had great difficulty in believing that Christ was actually present in the Eucharist. Peter stopped in the town of Bolsena, which is right next to Orvieto, to celebrate Mass at the tomb of the Virgin Martyr, St. Christina. And as Peter spoke the words of consecration, blood began to drip from the host and onto the corporal, the linen cloth on which Mass is celebrated. The poor priest was totally awestruck, and hearing that the Pope was in Orvieto, he went to him to ask forgiveness for having doubted the real presence. The Pope absolved him and, after investigating the facts, he had the corporal with the stains of blood brought to Orvieto and enshrined in the cathedral. And incidentally, if you go to Orvieto today, you can still see that corporal in the cathedral in the chapel of the Blessed Sacrament. The devotion excited by this miracle caused the Pope in the following year to extend the feast of Corpus Christi to the Universal Church. And coincidentally, although as I like to say, in the spiritual life, there are no coincidences, at the same time, St. Thomas Aquinas was living and teaching at the Dominican school in Orvieto. So the Pope asked Thomas to compose a mass and office for this new feast. These prayers, including this lovely sequence, which we just heard sung, are among the most beautiful in the Church's liturgy. Thomas was known for his devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, and he wrote a great deal about both the theology and the spirituality of the real presence in the Eucharist. And among his works is a famous sermon in which he writes, "The only begotten Son of God took our nature upon him, being himself made man, that he might make men gods. On the altar of the cross, he offered up his body to God the Father as a sacrifice for our reconciliation. He shed his blood as the price by which he redeemed us from wretchedness and bondage, and as the washing by which he cleansed us from all sin. And for a noble and abiding memorial of so great a work of his goodness, he left unto his faithful ones his very body for meat and his very blood for drink, to be fed upon under the appearance of bread and wine. How precious a thing then, how marvelous, how health-giving is the supper of the Lord. Can anything be more precious? There is put before us for food, not as of old time, the flesh of bulls and of goats, but Christ himself, our very God. Can anything be more marvelous than this sacrament? Therein it comes to pass that bread and wine are bread and wine no more, but instead there is the body and blood of Christ. That is to say, Christ himself, perfect God and perfect man, is there under the appearance of a little bread and wine. All that the senses can reach in this sacrament, sight, taste, touch, smell, and the like, all these abide of bread and wine, but the reality is not bread and wine. And thus room is left for faith. Christ, who has a form that can be seen, is here taken and received only unseen, but seeming to be bread and wine, and the senses which judge by the outward look are warranted against error. Can anything be more health-giving than this sacrament? By it, sins are purged away, strength renewed, and the soul fed upon the richness of spiritual gifts. This supper is offered up in the church both for the quick and the dead. By it is made a memorial of that exceedingly great love which Christ showed in the time of his sufferings. It was in order that that great love might be fixed into the hearts of his disciples, that when the Last Supper was ended, the Lord Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And thus he instituted this sacrament to be the everlasting memorial of his death until he comes again in glory and our joy will be complete. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.